Mr. Chairman, members of this commission, witnesses, and friends. One of the sources of international law arises originally in the first Hague Convention, is repeated in the Hague Convention of 1907 as preambular paragraph 8, and has been reaffirmed in the Protocol's additional. That provision reads that at all times, civilians and combatants alike are protected by principles of law of civilized countries, principles of humanity, and the dictates of the public conscience. This forum is a statement, an enactment of both principles of humanity and the dictates of the public conscience. The first part of our program involves discussion of, in fact, a paper presented by a non-governmental organization which appears to be, and we will listen to evidence showing that, it is providing the blueprint for current policies of the government of the United States, which stands, of course, before us as a perhaps primary violator of international law. However, the dictates of the public conscience come not just from an understanding of the law itself, but also from concepts of humanity, which we want to reaffirm as needing to be the basis for any law. This includes a moral dimension, of course, a political dimension, obviously an economic dimension, as well as, strictly speaking, the legal dimension. One other further comment before some general concluding remarks, and that is that prior to what I call Gulf War II, the United States came to European countries and asked for an anticipatory waiver of the legal responsibilities of European countries regarding gross violations of human rights and humanitarian law chargeable in the course of armed conflict. One of the targets of the United States has been specifically Belgium because of possibilities in Belgian law to bring potential or alleged violators of your tribunals in Belgium. I would like to remind everyone that the Geneva Conventions of 1949 do not allow this to happen. The Geneva Conventions of 1949 do not allow any of the high contracting parties to abrogate their responsibilities or duties in the of armed conflict situations. The Geneva Conventions also say, Article 1, that the Geneva Conventions, the principles and the laws of the Geneva Conventions are applicable in all circumstances. So governments can't pick and choose what circumstance they want to apply the Geneva Conventions. It applies in all situations of armed conflict. Further, the Geneva Conventions require that all high contracting parties bring alleged violators before, if necessary, its own national tribunals. High contracting parties are obligated to, it says, look for and seek out alleged violators, track them down. And one of the outcomes, I hope, of this particular commission and the whole process of tribunals, which I'm sure you have heard about at this point, is to find legal remedies as well as social and political remedies to bring violators of what are called the baseline rules of civilization to appropriate forums, meaning not only citizens' tribunals, but legal tribunals in domestic courts. The United States government, I'm sure, assumed that by failing to ratify the International Criminal Court and putting so many provisos over its acceptance of jurisdiction of the International Court of Justice, that it could avoid these rules in tribunals. But the Geneva Conventions obligates all high contracting parties to seek out and try in their own tribunals, if another one is not available, violators. It does not allow any government to absolve its duties under the Geneva Conventions, and I think this is a very important point to stage in the proceedings. Our witnesses will testify to what can only be viewed as an abominable roadmap to world domination, and they will also testify that agenda. I urge us all to listen very carefully to this testimony. In the course of our prosecution, we will try to frame it to the degree we can to existing international law standards, as well as social and political points of view that are relevant to the discussion. But we need to look at the whole legal framework, not only from the perspective of armed conflict law and human rights law, the Charter of the United Nations, but also from principles such as the economic rights and duties of states and the Declaration of Friendly Principles, which sets out a roadmap on how states are supposed to relate to the rest of the world, and such declarations as the declarations on the definition of aggression. It is extremely important, in my point of view, that the public in general have a basic understanding of the law. And so I will like to interject in my questioning as much as possible sections of the law and asking the commission members if they are so obliged to also reply from that perspective to the degree they can. One of the reasons that this is so important, although this particular tribunal isn't to reach a quasi-judicial opinion, is because the current American administration assumes no one has legal understanding. So therefore, their arguments are attempted to be persuasive from another perspective, and you are expected to not be looking at what is happening from the perspective of binding international law. So from my perspective, I do hope we have at least that framework around our discussion so that we are better prepared to answer back the current American administration and possibly even a new one, even if there is a change, may try to perpetuate the same idea that law is merely a slippery slope and that what really counts is what the United States thinks counts. So from that perspective now, I rest the prosecution case from my point of view and turn the proceedings back over to our chairman, François Coutard.
Thank you very much for this good contribution, especially on legal aspects.